Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We thank thee, dear Father, that thou hast again brought us together on this solemn and yet joyous occasion. And we pray thy blessing upon this portion of our convention. We are especially mindful, dear Father, at this time of these dear ones whom thou hast accounted worthy to hear the call to forsake all and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Grant unto them, we pray, thy continued guidance and direction in all the affairs of life, that they may be enabled to carry out all the obligations of their covenant with thee by sacrifice. We are mindful, dear Father, of all the wonderful provisions of divine grace in Christ Jesus. Grant unto us all, we pray, the discernment to avail ourselves of these. Now we would ask thy blessing upon the message from thy word, which our brother is now to bring us. Wilt thou bless him and sustain him and give him utterance? We ask all these blessings, dear Father, with the forgiveness of our shortcomings, and they ask thee to accept our thanks and heartfelt praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
As you know, evening for the baptismal service. This time we're going to have the baptismal discourse. If there are any brethren in the audience at this time who desire to symbolize their consecration to the Lord by water baptism, we request that you come to the front row with the other candidates who are here at the present time. To serve us at this time, we have a brother who is well fitted for the job before him, one who is very instrumental in bringing individuals closer to the Lord and closer into the Lord's service, Brother Christian Zano.
Beloved, I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. How plain these words ring in the consecrated ear. How beautiful they are, knowing that by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body. And this Spirit is the same Spirit that came upon the Lord Jesus at the River Jordan. And this Spirit, friends, came down over the body members all this time, and now upon the feet members of the body of Christ. We are 11th hour virgins, and I'm sure that we appreciate very much this privilege of coming together and this outward manifestation before God and the holy angels and before this congregation to symbolize your consecration by water immersion. this one spirit that came over the body since that time, this spirit covers. This one spirit blesses. It sanctifies. It permeates. It immerses and anoints. In the fifth volume of Scripture Studies, page 214, you'll have a beautiful lesson on this. And this baptism of the Holy Spirit brings to you full assurance of faith. It brings peace of God, the peace of God that passeth all human understanding. Humankind know nothing about this peace that you have. This is the peace that Jesus spake of. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. No, no, the world cannot give you peace. They do not have it themselves. They're clamoring for peace constantly, but they never find it. But you found it. You have the peace of God, the same peace that God possesses. And I'm sure that you believe that God is always peaceful, never upset, never perturbed. Even with all this carnage that's been upon the earth and the extermination of 6 million Jews, still our Heavenly Father is always full of peace, peaceful. And he desires that you and I should have that same peace. That's the peace that Jesus had. That's the peace that Jesus said, I leave with you. I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let us always remember that. Therefore, we have the peace of God, and it came from that faith that you exercised in giving your heart to God. Therefore, St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:10, glorify God in your bodies. You're not your own. You do not belong to yourself anymore. You're not your own, but you're bought with a price, the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and spirit, which is His. How beautiful these scriptures are. And St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that your body is the temple of the living God, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, and ye are members of the body of Christ, and that's the church. What is the church? The building over there on that corner, or the other one? Bless your heart, no, never was. Jesus is the head to this body, which is the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be a member of the Christ family? In the 139th Psalm, the fifth verse, the prophet David prophesied about these 11th hour virgins when he said that God laid his hand upon me. He's laid his hand upon you. You have nothing to fear. You need not fear any bombs or what Satan or the world may do. You're members of the Christ family, and God has laid his hand upon you. That's why St. Paul said we are a spectacle unto men and angels. A theatrical. You're on the stage. You're actors now. Don't you know that? You're a the spectacle a theatrical unto men and angels, and think how rich you are. God passed by all the cherubim, seraphims, principalities, and powers, the great men and the wise men, and the spiritual leaders of this earth, and he selected little you and little me. And we become a spectacle unto men and angels because you've given your heart to God. Now let us remember that Jesus was the first one to be baptized with a Christian baptism. The first one. And I call to mind, friends, what Jesus said. Mark 10:35-39. He said to his disciples, "Are ye able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" One translation gives it the baptism that I'm being baptized with. And I think that's right. Are ye able? Of course you are. Of course you are. Many folks who come to me in my travels from coast to coast, and they'll say, "Oh, that's wonderful, brother, but I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to take a stand for the truth." Please don't say that. Don't ever say it. That's not right. It wouldn't be pleasing to God to say, "I'm not good enough." If the great God of the universe has been pleased to draw you unto the Lord Jesus, and he begins to open the eyes of your understanding, friends, remember, if you take the stand and accept Jesus as your personal redeemer, and you give your little all, and that's your heart, to God, then you are good enough. And you'll say, "Why and how?" Because Jesus will cover you with the robe of his righteousness. Now, do you feel good enough? If you had 20% merit and you lacked 80%, Jesus steps in and gives you that 80% or makes you 100%. Now, do you feel good enough? Who on earth since Jesus was good enough? None of us. None of us were good enough. There's none righteous, no, not any. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. By one man's disobedience, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men. But for those whom our Heavenly Father draws to be members of the Christ family, and Jesus steps in, and he covers them. Isn't that a wonderful arrangement our Heavenly Father has? Then are we able? Why, yes. Jesus said, "Ye shall. Ye shall be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with." Well, when did he say that? He said that just before his crucifixion. Well, he had been baptized at the River Jordan. That's right. But this baptism, friends, means to immerse our will into the will of God. And Jesus constantly immersed his will from the River Jordan up to the cross until he said, "It is finished." What did he mean? "My baptism is finished." Immersing his will into the will of God. And that's what you have done. And may it continue unto the very end, constantly immersing our wills into the will of God. Yes, and then he said, "Ye shall drink of the cup that I shall drink of." Drink of that cup? Yes, it's a cup of joy, commingled with sorrow. Well, why any sorrow? Ah, friends, because you and I have been called to this station. And you remember the scripture in the 8th chapter of Romans, 17th verse. If we're children of God, then heirs of God. Think to be an heir of God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Suffer with him? Well, I could suffer for him a little bit, but that won't do, friends. Don't say that, to suffer for him. It says to suffer with him. To suffer with him on the same altar of sacrifice. But you say, my sacrifice is so small, it's merely a penny's worth. And think of the sacrifice of Jesus. But God counts in that little sacrifice with Jesus. And if God is pleased to count in your sacrifice and my sacrifice with Jesus, let us not ask any questions about it. That's the plan of God, and it's taught from cover to cover. Let us never deny it. Those that suffer with him shall also reign with him. And those that suffer with him shall be glorified together. Are you willing to walk in the steps of Jesus? You may be persecuted, but the suffering, friends, is all for righteousness, not for the aches and pains commonly the human family have, but suffering for righteousness. Suffer because you let your light shine. I see. That's the sufferings of Christ. Romans 12:1, we read Paul speaking to the brethren, those that were on the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is pictured by the court in the tabernacle. The truth is pictured by the holy in the tabernacle, and life in the most holy. There must be a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I beseech you, brethren, therefore, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You'll never find anything in the Bible that tells you it's all unreasonable. But everything that you do and everything that God asks us to do is reasonable. This is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, brethren, some may despise you because you've taken this stand, but count it all joy. Are you willing to suffer a little along that line? You may. Even some who are highly esteemed among you. But friends, always remember that if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. Jesus said, let him who is greatest among you be servant of all. Well, you say that's a very large order, but after all, friends, it isn't so large, because Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Don't ever try it. Without the Lord, you can do nothing. And when you pray, always pray in the name of Jesus. That's a command. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Luke 14:8. Jesus gave a parable and said, when thou of any man are bidden to a wedding, take not the highest room, but take the lowest room, a back seat, so to speak. Take the lowest room, so that when he comes at bait, he may say, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have honor with all those that sit at meat with thee. In other words, don't make a beeline for the platform or try to tell the church what to do. Take a back seat, be meek, and be taught. Then the Lord will gradually exalt you. Those are the words of Jesus. Oh, if many of the brethren would do that, what a blessing it be to them if they take the lowest room instead of clamoring constantly for the highest room. Don't do it. Our dear brother Russell said in the 6th volume, page 4, 36, that this class has given up their will and taken the will of God. The will represents the entire person. And the will has the control of the body. It controls the hands. It controls the feet, the eyes, and the brain. It has the control of the pocket, too, the bank account, the will, and all the real estate. It controls our time, our talent, our influence, and you have a great responsibility over your influence, remember that. There is not a thing that we possess which does not properly come under the contract of our will. Our will. And hence, when we surrendered our will, as Jesus did when he came to the River Jordan, he said, Father, I come to do thy will, as written in the volume of the book of me. And so we did the same. We give up our human will. And we've taken the will of God. Or the scripture sometimes calls it our hearts. We've given our hearts to God. We've given our hearts to God. Yes, we read so beautifully in the 145th Psalm, I will extol thy name, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and forever. How can we bless God? But you can. We down here upon the earth, yes. We're a spectacle unto men and angels, yes. Members of the Christ family, yes. And we can bless God, yes. How can I bless God? Morning, noon, and night. How can we do it? With that consecrated heart. That's the only thing you could give God that he would accept. Son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Never understand God's ways unless we give our heart to God. Son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, the ways of righteousness, the ways of humility, the ways of meekness, the ways of consecration, the ways of holiness. Would you like to understand and know about God's ways? There's only one way, to give our hearts to God. Would he accept that? The only thing that he would accept. Son, give me thine heart. And when you gave your heart, you gave your all. Everything that you possess. Even your family. You gave it all. Well, then you say, I had nothing left. That's right. There's where the Lord wants you to be. Nothing left. You gave it all to God. But God, in turn, gives it back to you. But it don't belong to you, remember. It belongs to God. Everything that you have belongs to God. Now you've become a steward. And you must give an account of your stewardship, all of us. Isn't that right? You know that's right. And now we're going to be very careful how we're spent in the service before the Lord, because it all belongs to God. When we gave our hearts, we gave our all. Beautiful, isn't it? That's right. Son, give me thine heart. I love that. Romans 6:3-6. Beautiful thought. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? But don't say anything, friends, about being baptized into water, does it? No, that's right. We're baptized into his death. I see. Now let me read another scripture that'll help us. Ephesians 4:1-5. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, that's humility, and passive submission, and active submission, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, always endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. How many bodies? Oh, there's so many in the earth, but only one that God recognizes. Just one body. And all these are baptized into that one body. Baptized into Christ. The word Christ means anointed. Jesus was the first one to be anointed, and all the members are equally anointed. And therefore, there is one body. There's just one Spirit. And that Spirit has been manifest here at this convention this week. It's the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of kindness, the Spirit of love, Spirit of the truth. Even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling. You know, when Jesus gave that parable about the penny, when he came to the end of the day, the 11th virgin class, the 11th hour class, he gave them all the same wages. He gave them all a penny. The same wages that those that bore the heat of the day. Some begin to murmur and complain about it. They didn't like it. Jesus gave them all a penny. One hope, the same honor. You have the same honor, friends, that those had that came in at Pentecost. And you have the same hope, for we're all called in one hope of our calling. There's one Lord. There's one faith, not 252, but one. This is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. One faith and one baptism. How many? Can't we create one? Wouldn't it be all right for us to create one and baptize all these little ones? Put them under the water? Tell them to go out and work? No, friends, there's no such a thing in the Bible. That's one of the strong delusions that would come at the end of the age. Don't be deceived by it. There's no teaching in the Bible of that kind, that some would be baptized into an organization. Don't you believe that? No, no, friends. We're all baptized into his death. One baptism. The same baptism that Jesus had. Hereunto were ye called to follow in his steps. St. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. No cross, no crown. We always understood that, didn't we? What right would we have to change it and manufacturing another baptism? Don't do it. It's a strong delusion that Jesus talked about would come at the end of the age. There's many of them. Oh, there's many of those strong delusions. Brethren, you have the faith. And still it's a little flock. Jesus said it would be a little flock, didn't he? Can we change the words of Jesus? Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few will be that find it. Not a big crowd. No, not now. No, not now, friends. Because we're still in the gospel age. Still in that harvest. When will it end? When the age ends. Who said so? Jesus. Jesus said the harvest is the end of the age. Age hasn't ended yet, has it? Still harvest. Still in it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How grand, how wonderful these words are to us today. Ephesians 1:18-22. The eyes of your understanding, brethren, being enlightened. Sure they're enlightened or you wouldn't be here. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised Jesus from the dead. He wrought his mighty power to raise Jesus from the dead. Would it require God's mighty power to establish the kingdom? No. Will it require God's mighty power to raise the dead, the human race? No. God's mighty power to raise Jesus from the dead. Well, why?
Why? You know.
Because he exalted him above principalities and powers and every name that's named, and gave him the divine nature, and he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. And we, too, will sit at the right hand of the Father. If we're children of God, then heirs of God. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall be glorified together. Sit upon the throne with God in Christ. Why, then it'll take and require God's mighty power to raise each one of the body members of Christ. That's right. That's right. God's mighty power. No one in the universe could raise Jesus from the dead but God Almighty. No one could give him the divine nature but God Almighty. Therefore we become sons of God. Sons of God on the highest plane in the universe. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that's named. Not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the body, the ecclesia, the church. And that's the only church mentioned in the Bible. And it don't mean that church on the corner. The body of Christ. The church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I must tell you of an experience I had in Youngstown, Ohio. We planned a convention at Youngstown. I was living in Warren, Ohio at this time. And it was announced on Wednesday evening. I was an elder of the class. I announced there'd be a convention at Youngstown and there would be a baptism. Immediately after the meeting, a sister came to me and she said, "Brother, I'm not going to be baptized." Well, it was a surprise to me, for I thought she had been baptized. Being out in the service so much, I didn't know. I thought perhaps she had been. But evidently she was not baptized. I didn't say anything. I was rather stunned about it. And the next meeting we have on Sunday evening, it was announced again, and she came to me again and said, "Brother, I'm not going to be baptized." So I thought I'd have a little talk with her personally, and I asked her. "Well," she said, "you know, brother, I never was baptized." I said, "Then didn't you ever make a consecration to the Lord?" "Well," she said, "you know, Charles is dead." Yes, her son was 16 years old. Died. I remember that. She said, "You know, I want to be with Charles." "Well," I said, "the Lord shall fulfill the desire of thine heart if that's what you want." But I said, "Sister, you have a good understanding of the truth, and I really believe that the Lord is drawing you, and I do hope you'll not take all this in vain." And just then a little girl about 4 years old came in. Her mother was with her. And she rushed over to my side. And I had my hand in my pocket like this. And I pulled out a half a dollar. And I said to her, "Sister, wouldn't it be more blessed for me to give little Dolly this half a dollar than for me to receive it?" "Oh, yes," she says, "always more blessed to give than to receive." Now I said, "Sister, wouldn't it be more blessed for you to give Charles restitution blessings in life?" "But," she said, "brother, if I make a consecration and I'm baptized, I'll be way off in the universe somewhere." "Now," I said, "sister, who told you that?" I said, where did you get that? He said, we don't teach it here. It isn't in the volumes. It isn't in the Bible. Well, she said, isn't that what we believe? And here I thought this sister had a good knowledge of the truth. No, my sister, we don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus will be the King of Kings, and each one of these members will be a king. And that'll mean a kingdom of kings. And that kingdom of kings will come down from God out of heaven as a bride with a husband. What for? To bless all the nations of the earth. They're not going to be way off in the universe somewhere, but they're going to do this work. Now, wouldn't it be more blessed for you to give your son Charles a restitution life than for you to wait for it yourself? She said, I never saw that before. And the next Sunday morning, she was right down at the front seat, baptized. Misunderstanding. That's the work for 1,000 years. Rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's the work. Now I want to call to mind just briefly when Jesus came to the River Jordan. John pointed to Jesus and he said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And remember, friends, do not ever forget this. Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, rather, that Jesus would take away the sin. S-I-N. Sin. Singular. What sin? The Adamic sin. Did anyone ever tell you that Adam would never come back? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Jesus died for Adam. And he taketh away the sin of the world. He poured out his soul unto death. He made his soul, his very being, an offering for sin. S-I-N. Adamic sin. He died for Adam. And therefore, for the entire human family. He said to John the Baptist, desire to be baptized. Jesus. John said, I have need of being baptized of thee. And Jesus so beautifully said, suffer it to be so now. Right now. Now's the time. Suffer it to be so now, for so it behooveth us. Us? John and I? No, no. John wasn't in it. For so it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. And that's what you're going to do tonight. Jesus and his bride, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus need not to be baptized. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. But he led the way. Yes, friends, for so it behooveth us, myself and my bride, to fulfill all righteousness. Don't hesitate about it. But do it in order to fulfill all righteousness, as this sister did in Youngstown. And your daughter heard that testimony she gave the next week, how happy she was. Because now she felt she fulfilled all righteousness. Now leave it all in the hands of the Lord. He leads you and guides you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then can you see Jesus go out there in the water? And John the Baptist was so surprised. But he did it. He took Jesus and he put him under the water. Buried him. And he lifted him out of the water. Resurrection. Beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture. Lift him out of the water. And then the heavens were opened unto him. The heavenly things, the deep things, the spiritual things. Why? because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the shape of a dove. Do we desire to have the Spirit of God and never get it unless you take this step? If there's any in this audience, you'll never get the Spirit of the Lord to be gettle unless you take this step. Jesus took it, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then the heavenly things, the spiritual things, were opened unto him, and so it'll be with you. Believe that? That's right. Now, the holy angels, friends, no doubt are watching us tonight. I believe it. And you'll all have a guardian angel. How could you ever expect to have a guardian angel unless you took this step? You'll have a guardian angel. Beautiful, isn't it? Now, if you'll rise, I want to ask you a question. All of you, please. Desire to be baptized. If there's any others, please come forward. All right. Come out, my dearly beloved. I feel confident that you have made Jesus your personal Redeemer. You've heard the truth some way through someone, and it became beautiful to you, and you begin to study it and read it and make it your own. And then you came to that point because of the truth that you would make the Lord Jesus your personal Redeemer. Did you do that, sister? All of you. Lord Jesus, your personal Redeemer. Gloria, you did that. That's right. All of you. Thank you. Then, of course, in doing this, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your personal Redeemer. Now, I'd like to ask you, have you given your hearts to God? That means consecration. All giving your hearts to the Lord in consecration. That's wonderful. Thank you. As taught in Romans 12:1, so beautifully. Now, I'd like to ask one more question. Is it your desire to symbolize that consecration that you made with our Heavenly Father? Is it your desire to symbolize that consecration by water immersion before this congregation, before God and the holy angels? That's right. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Then I'll come down.
Prayer. Remain seated after the prayer. Rise for the prayer. Be seated after the prayer.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and hearts before Thee in true humility. We thank Thee for this true baptism, the baptism of our Savior, our Master. Recognizing that we're baptized into his death, into the body of Christ. And now, Father, as we give the right hand of fellowship to these dear ones, we pray thy rich blessing upon each one. As they now face the world, we pray, Father, that they may not be of the world, although they're in it. That they may fight the good fight of faith, We pray, dear Father, that they may buckle on their armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the girdle of truth, and the sandals of peace. And prayer, prayer, praying always, teach each one of them how to pray. Dear loving Father, we pray thy rich blessing upon each one. Bless this entire congregation as we all bow before thee to renew our consecration to thee, Father, and help us, dear Lord, to love one another, love these that come in our midst, and help us, Father, to be a blessing to them. We pray thy rich blessing too now, as they have the water immersion. Give them courage, give them strength, and above all, strengthen their faith. May their faith be strong in thee and in the power of thy might. Now bless us, Father, as we wait before thee, this entire convention we ask and pray for in Jesus' holy name. Amen.